And welcome back in to Living Blended. I'm Colby.
And I'm Megan.
And how are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
You know,
living the dream.
Living the dream. We got good weather out here in Texas right now. We might have to go on a walk later today.
Mm-hmm. We got pups that are itching for it.
Mm-hmm. So apologies if they bark. Okay. So I don't know that we have any updates as far as our social media goes or website, just to kind of
just check it out. Follow us. If you know people who are in the same sort of situation, if they are in a blended family or starting a blended family or anything like that, then, send them our way and encourage them to listen and connect with us.
Yes. Please share. So we're at, Living Blended Pod
On Instagram. And Facebook.
And on Facebook. You can reach us at livingblendedtogether@gmail.com if you just want to email us a question. We hope to soon open up our website to have kind of a area to post questions or just make comments or just generally send us feedback. So, because the more feedback we get, the better that we can make this. So, even if it's, Colby, I hate your voice and you need to change it. I can go in and, I don't know.
Hey, the magic of technology.
Mm-hmm. We can do something. I can sound like a chipmunk.
I really prefer that you didn't.
Okay. So we hinted at this last time, what we plan to talk about today, but it is what we call the all fun fallacy. Do you want to kind of give a 3,000 foot view of this?
So the all fun fallacy is, I think the more common phrase for it, we like the term all fun fallacy, because it is gender neutral, is the Disneyland dad.
Yeah, and which is, we probably should point out that that is the extreme version.
Correct, but it's basically, it's not that you take your kids to Disneyland every time you have them or see them or anything like that. It's basically just this sort of idea or this concept that that whoever the non-custodial parent or the parent that doesn't have them doesn't have primary custody is sort of just lavishing the kids with fun times all the time, and it kind of leaves the disciplinary and aspect out of it, and sort of those day to day things maybe that aren't always fun for kids or not fun to try to do with kids, anything like that, that they leave those to the other parent. So that's sort of the extreme version. I think can fall into a sort of toned down version of the Disneyland dad or the Disneyland mom with the, it's what we call it, the all fun fallacy, where when you are with the kids and when you have the kids with you, it's, you do everything in your power to make it 100% fun 100% of the time.
Yeah. Okay. So let's set the stage again, just for any new listeners who kind of don't know our situation here. There are two boys, Carter and Caden. They're 5 and 3. And per our custody agreement, I have them 50% of the time. Their mother has them the other 50% of the time. Basically, we swap weekends. And then they are over there on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, and here on Wednesday nights and Thursday nights. And then we just swap, go every other Friday through Sunday night. That is kind of where we're at. So again, take that with a grain of salt, because it might be different if the kids are 16. I don't know. I feel like this probably stretches over all age bands.
Yeah. I mean, it's not always the
older kids could honestly probably abuse it more.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely know that I did this to a certain degree with my own parents. I was 8 when they divorced. And I was a good kid, but I was no saint. And there was definitely times when I would, not really pit my parents against each other, but
manipulate, like kind of try and get something,
try and get, like
oh, I was at dad's and
he let me go spend the, night at someone's house, or mom lets me wear she went and bought me new shoes, why can't I have new shoes over here, like that kind of thing. And it's just a kid, that sort of kid manipulation. Because I was older when they got divorced, and so I think most kids that are older and have that sort of wherewithal will try to do that. I don't think at 3 and 5 they're they're going to tragedy. Yeah.
But there are a ton of other drawbacks that we'll get into here in a little bit. But yeah, you kind of touched on the overall, what is what we're calling the all fun fallacy. It was something that honestly, their mom and I talked about like while we were going through the divorce process. Just to not, I think a lot of the times parents can either get here actively or get here passively. So I think people can get to the point where they are actively trying to, you know, oh, you know, like your example. Oh, well, she did get shoes over there. Now I'll get her some shoes and a jacket.
Right. That, like the one-upsmanship, like you're trying to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which serves nobody.
No, not at all.
It's not, it's a self-fulfilling thing. And I think the overarching theme of any divorce with kids is putting the kids first, right? I think everybody that is going through a divorce is going to say, you know, we got to put the kids first, right? Which should absolutely be how it is.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people follow through on that. And I think they, you know, it's easy to get stuck in your kind of selfish
needs. Yeah, I mean, I think...
needs.
I mean, I imagine, like, I haven't, you know, been in that situation. I've never been divorced, but, like, I imagine that, you know, everybody wants to feel wanted. And if, even if you're doing those things subconsciously and it makes the kids want you more, or miss you when they're away, things like that, that, I mean, that probably feels good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about that early on about trying not to do that one-upsman, like making an active point to not do it. But we'll talk a little bit about how you can kind of accidentally find yourself there. Thankfully, we don't. I think we kind of find ourselves there now. Not the one-upsman part, but the all-fun fallacy.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, trying to maximize the time with the kids, knowing that we don't have them every weekend. So when the weekends that we do have them, because I think we're worse about it on weekends than we are during the week. I think we're pretty standard with our, or pretty good with our routines.
Yeah,
the week.
Routines are super important to both of us.
Yes. I am a creature of habit through and through. And
yeah, and I think it's important that the kids are
yeah.
kind of raised that way, even though their habits might be different at either household, you know.
Yeah, but I think that having those routines and habits are important. But I think, especially on the weekends, we try to, you know, knowing that we won't have them for, you know, they won't have them the following weekend, maybe we do try to do the zoo and a water park in one weekend. Well, that's a lot of, hey, it's just a lot of activity, but it leaves very little time for anything else, and they only see us in that fun and exciting way. And it's not necessarily that we're actively trying to do that. It's just, we're trying to maximize our time with them.
Yeah. And I think you can, even with the Disneyland dad stuff, if you have, you know, custody of him just every other weekend or something,
right.
If you're non-custodial and you have him every other weekend, you know, I think a lot of the times they could be doing it because they're trying to manipulate the kids. They could be doing it just out of the goodness of their heart, like they're just trying to provide their kids the best life possible,
yeah.
And that's how they think they're going to do it.
It's actually more common, like all the research that I've done, it shows that it's more common at 50-50 split.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Like it than in a quote-unquote traditional, like every other weekend. Because in a traditional every other weekend, the non-custodial parent would have them, you know, 15-20% of the time. Well, they do have more of that real life sort of opportunity at the parent that they're with 80% of the time.
Yeah.
Whereas in a 50-50 split, both households tend to do it.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that the
like an 80-20 split, only one household is generally doing that.
Only 20% is doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
In a 50-50,
I would imagine it's
both
more
households are,
well, I don't know. Yeah, that's I guess I never thought of it that way.
I didn't either until that's not my own you know, genius idea or anything like that. I read that on parents.com and kind of went and followed the articles that they linked to as well.
Yeah. But I think it's important when you find yourself there, like we've definitely found ourselves like actively talking about, oh man, we need to stop. Like we're trying to just take advantage of time with the kids and just honestly provide them, you know, as much joy from life as we can. Mm-hmm. But we put what their reality is a little different than I think what the reality of a, you know, a kid in a quote traditional nuclear family is seeing, you know, where they maybe not get a lot of time to just be bored or just be at home and do something.
Yeah, and to kind of find their own fun.
Yeah, it's probably important to think back to why you're doing it.
Right.
You know, like, are you doing it for you or are you doing it for the kids? And is it for the short term or is it for the long term? Because I think you could even do it for the kids for the short term and just not think about the long term. You right. know, like we go into like a water park. Yes, we could. Like when we're doing that, we're doing it for the joy of the kids. We're not necessarily doing it for us.
No.
But
no.
we're not.
I don't enjoy having water splashed on my head with that big old bucket that rains down.
Yeah. But we're not necessarily thinking about all of the long-term effects of that, that they're thinking, I always get to go to the water park. Like right. every...
That this is the norm.
Right.
And we don't want that
Can
to...
we get season tickets to the water park?
Yeah. We don't necessarily want that to be their norm. That, because it's just an altered perception of what real life actually is, especially if it's going on, like I said, with a 50-50 custody agreement, like, especially if it's going on, you know, both houses. And like I said, I don't think anybody... I know a lot of people have 50-50 custody, and I don't know anybody who intentionally does it. I think it's one of those things that's subconscious.
I'm sure it's there.
There are definitely
people who are actively trying to do that one-upsmanship, where they're like, you know, because like you said, you want to be the...
The favorite parent.
Yeah, maybe not the favorite parent, but you want to be...
You want to be missed. Like, you want to be loved.
Yeah,
you want
appreciated. To be, yeah. You want them to be like super excited, and they, when they come back to your house, and if right. you're, you know, if there's no discipline happening at the house, if you're constantly out doing stuff that is, you know, not that's more atypical, mm-hmm. All the time, then they're gonna be excited there, and that can feel good. So
yeah.
that's why I think it's super important to step back and think, is it self-fulfilling? Am I doing something because I'm being selfish about this? Or is this really good for the kids long-term?
Right.
So I guess some of the drawbacks, we talked a little bit about how the short-term effect can be good. And that I think if you think in the long-term and if you start to paint this picture of what life is like, and it's all fun and games all the time, then reality is probably going to hit them pretty hard at some point.
Right. When when that's not your real life anymore, when even if it's that way till you're 18 and you move off to college and you're like, wait, what?
Where's
my good time, fun time?
Right. Right. And we kind of to go back a little bit to, even like we got season tickets to like, I'm using air quotes, tickets, but, it was to like a kind of smaller regional water park around mm-hmm. us. And even getting those and you sharing the access with like giving their mom the access to it. That's both households now taking them and it's just like all fun all the time. Now, granted, this is in summer and it's going to be a little different, especially because Carter just started kindergarten.
Right.
So the time of when we're going to get to do stuff is probably going to go down. But then again, like you said, most of that stuff we do on the weekends, we're very structured on the weekdays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's not a whole lot. I mean, every now and then we've done something on a weekday, like if one of us gets off work early or something like that, but that's not our norm. Our norm is, dinner, bath, a little bit of playtime, calm down time, bed.
Yeah. And even another thing that I've done, like we've talked about, and I'm sure we're going to get into this in way more detail in another episode, but having individual one-on-one time with mm-hmm. them. And the easiest way to do that is to... when they were both preschool age, is to just hold them out of preschool. You take a Monday off or a Friday off and, you know, either I go take them to do something or you go take them to do something, or we're all doing something together. And I think even that, just kind of reflecting on that, I think even that was good, but I felt like we could have done that time on a weekend.
No.
Right. Maybe rather than taking them out and having a day where we call it a Caden Daddy Day or Caden Megan Day, Carter Cat, you know, that kind of thing. Instead of doing that on a weekday and kind of interrupting their routines.
Yeah.
That probably would have been better to just save for the weekend.
And I would say it's definitely harder to do that if you're in a single parent household. Like if you're the only one, you can't we have that option now because one of us can be with Carter and one of us can be with Caden.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
That's not an option if you're the only parent in the house.
Yeah, and a lot of the times. And
so I don't want to take that away from someone, like that ability, because if that's the only time you can get that real good one-on-one time, I think that that one-on-one time supersedes that one day of routine.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that all that started when I was a single parent and was just trying to get good quality time with each kids that were developing. And I wanted to, you know, even when Caden was a year old, I wanted to have that just individual time where I didn't have a three-year-old kind of tugging at me, asking to be a dinosaur and run around the house.
That's a lot easier now when you can take Caden to do something, I can take Carter, and then you can flip at some point.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sure we'll probably have a specific episode on just spending one-on-one time and why we think that's important. So we talked a little bit about how we kind of are finding ourselves in this place right now. I think now is a good time. The school year just started. Mm-hmm. We're getting, you know, Carter into the routine of schoolwork and going to kindergarten and doing every stuff that primary school requires. I don't know. I think we have to be more active on the weekends about not doing stuff.
Right. I will say he's been so tired from kindergarten. Like he's remarked on that a couple of times that I think that we need to pull back a little bit on weekends, even just for that reason, that he's been so exhausted. And, he's like, you know, you use your brain more in kindergarten, and he just comes home so exhausted every day. And so I think having more time to just sort of chill and be around the house is a positive for him. So it's sort of worked out that way anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because you're not taking your kids to a water park or an amusement park or the movies or like constantly doing something doesn't mean it's not going to be quality time.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean you can't just sit, you know, in on front of a table or something and, you know, play go fish or it, like just have a day or a weekend or several weekends. I mean, constant weekends where you're not out and actively doing something and you're just spending time with family or watching a movie or, you know, building other traditions that aren't these shiny ones.
Right. But it's, you know, making trains on the floor or, you know, having a Mario race or whatever, like things like that, like that are just sort of, you know, just being normal.
Right. Getting used to being bored too.
Which I love that concept. I know people are, you know, I don't want my kids to ever be bored. Well, if they're never going to be bored, they're never going to figure out how to get unbored.
Yeah.
And as far as like I think Caden is probably one of the best kids I've ever seen about doing this, that he will figure out a way to entertain himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like no kid I've ever seen in my life. Like his imaginative play is like off the charts. And I think sometimes it's just because he would be bored and figure out a way to make believe and pretend and create his own fun. So as far as imagination goes, I think being bored is the best thing that you could do for your kids.
Yeah. And I often find myself when I'm a kid at heart in a lot of ways.
100%.
And I'm very active in the play with the kids. I am 35 years old and I feel like I'm in the body of a 50-year-old because I feel like I'm just constantly on my knees or laying down or doing stuff like that. And so there are times that I find myself just sitting on the couch and just vegging out, like when the boys are here and I'm not really doing anything with them. And honestly, sometimes it feels like I'm not being a bad parent, but
not engaging,
it's a disservice to them. Yeah. Cause I'm not, like, my kids are here and I'm not like actively engaging in them. And I have to kind of convince myself that for two reasons. One, it's not healthy for me to not have me time.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it's really healthy for them to be able to just be bored and figure it out.
Right. Like it's the best thing for the developing brains is to figure it out.
Right. To just learn. Sometimes, like, I love playing Legos with Carter. Yeah. I love playing Legos with him. But him playing Legos by himself.
I'm sorry. I just love the fact that you're like, I love playing Legos with Carter as I'm staring at the giant Lego that is entirely yours.
Yeah. I got a Cinderella's castle that I built all by myself. I'm super
proud of it. The kids are not allowed to touch it.
Nope. It's up high. But I love playing Legos with him. So whenever I see Legos, I'm like, oh, I want to go build something and, you know, we can, you know, story make with mm-hmm. it. And sometimes I have to pull myself back from that and like, no, just let him figure it out. Because especially playing with toys like that or like any kind of STEM toy or building toy, doing it by himself, especially at his age, is probably good for him developmentally.
Yeah, and working on his independence. And I also think it's, because I struggle with a little bit of that too, like needing, like feeling almost guilty for the me time. Like I went, I think last weekend they were here, I went for a run and the whole time I was gone, I was like, I shouldn't be doing this. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's, I can go for a 30-minute run and not have it, you know, be detrimental or anything like that. But I think that, you know, we got to like take a shower, I'm doing the dishes or something like that. That's often the times that I go and see them playing really well together, that they lean more on each other. And it can help their sibling bond, which I think is really important too.
Yeah. Okay. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about this?
I think just that we kind of talked about how to get out and just being, how to get out of that sort of all fun, fallacy situation, if that's what you're living in. And, I think for us, it kind of naturally lessened when we moved in together that everything wasn't an event every time we got together to do something. It wasn't an event every time I would spend the night. It was just like, oh, it's just another day.
Right.
So that kind of lessened on its own. But there have been things that we've definitely been more intentional about, at least that, like for whatever reason, Caden just seems to love helping me set the table. Well, fine, by all means, help me set the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those kinds of things that are sort of more chores and things like that are more of that real life sort of feel. So I said, don't be afraid to have your kids do chores and to help with laundry and to feed the dog. Even if it's something that they like to do, that's fine. They can absolutely learn to like, you know, doing chores and things like that. Because of those real life sort of things that, that I think are super important for them to learn in general.
Yeah. So I think the two biggest things that I've learned over just kind of reflecting on this are to think in the long term and not in the short term. That, you know, even though it might be super fun right now, what kind of expectation are you setting for the kids? Right. And is it for you or is it for them? Is it something that is self-serving or, like everything, is it focused around what is most important for the kids?
Which should always be the main goal.
Yeah, which should always be the main goal. And it's very, it can be very easy to lose sight of that. So honestly, anytime I'm communicating and I might have like a disagreement or have a contentious conversation with their mom, whenever I ask a question or like ask of something, whenever I ask, I'm like, I always have to think to myself, okay, am I doing this for me or am I doing mm-hmm. this for the kids?
Because, yeah.
You know, whatever. Like if we have like a specific thing that's written in our custody agreement, like, I can't think of an example. Like recently we, I can't remember what, it was a day that we had them and she wanted to do dinner with them because we were about to go out of town.
Yeah. It was a vacation stretch and we had them for 12 days straight, and which means she wouldn't be able to see them. So it's, yeah, absolutely take them to dinner.
Yeah.
Like you, I mean, yeah. I know you miss them and they miss you. And I mean,
but I'll be honest, like whenever those texts come across to me and it's like, hey, can I take them to dinner? I know you guys are going out and it's like mm-hmm. the kids are with us that time. My gut reaction is like, oh, that time's so super valuable to me. I don't want to let it go. And then I think, is it for me or is it for the kids?
Right.
And if it's for the kids, I'm pretty much going to say yes all the time.
And luckily, I mean, it works the other direction too. Like she's always been, I think we were coming back from, I don't remember, a vacation and wanted to take them to a birthday party. And she was absolutely more than willing to give up, you know, a couple of hours of her time with them to let us do that. So I think
we're a good enough, pretty lucky that she definitely has the same mentality.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we all get lost in it and get selfish at times. But you just have to be open-minded to, you know, hear someone else's feedback on it.
But I think that all three of us definitely have the, if it's what's best for the kids, then that's what's best. Ultimately, it was going to be best for us too, because we love them and want them to be, you know, put first. And I think we all three do that.
Yep. So that's all that we have today. Next episode in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about holidays and traditions. Until then, bye.
Bye, guys.